Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
How embarrassing was it for Tom Mitchell? And that had nothing to do with him, we're told, that his management were flogging him around for breakfast radio for $1,000 plus GST. Mm. Phil Mullen is his manager, but I've also been told Sunrise on Channel 7 was offered the chance to speak to him for $5,000 cash.
Hello and welcome to the Grand Final Week Super Footy Podcast, West Coast Eagles versus Collingwood in the big dance, 2:30 Saturday. If you can believe that, Richmond and Melbourne eliminated in spectacular style. Plenty to dissect there, but let's start with the winners. Joining us today, Lauren Wood and Nick Smart, late one off the bench. Guys, Collingwood, what a story. 13th to, well, potentially first.
Absolutely. It's an incredible story, a huge win. As a man who's partial to the Collingwood Football Club, I must admit, a disclaimer off the top, I'm actually still in shock. I've had incredibly low expectations, fully expecting a 4-5 goal loss, and just sat there in that first half at the MCG, just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I still can't. It was an unbelievable performance. Hadn't seen Richmond rattle like that for a long, long time.
Yes, Lauren. Stunned everyone inside the MCG, both on the field, off the field and outside of it, didn't it? Mick, it's great to see you here. I know you said last week that if Richmond didn't make it through, you might not be with us. So just checking in on your welfare.
You okay? I'm actually fine. A bit like you, it was so stunning that it was over at quarter time or midway through the second that it wasn't when I envisaged that they might lose, I thought it would be like 1999, Essendon-Carlton. Yep. But it was just totally not that. It was a slaughter. I think it goes to show, and we'll talk a bit more about Richmond, but, you know, injured players like Dusty, it just doesn't work. But full credit to Essendon, Collingwood, they were just incredible and still side bottom, I think.
Now Mr. Goes September, up, tell you what.
Is he ever? He's just a gun. And Mason Cox, I've never seen anything quite like it, I've got to say. They were saying the 18-metre goal square was the problem. It was the 18-metre Texan.
Well, he is nearly 18 metres, isn't he? What is he, 211 centimetres? He puts his arms up. Yeah. Then that's added another metre. He was just incredible. But you mentioned before, Mick, the storyline that is Collingwood. And I know it seems to be every year that, you know, we had the Richmond fairy tale, the Bulldogs fairy tale, just looking at the last 2 years alone. But this story at Collingwood, both on and off the field, is just unbelievable. Right down, you know, right from the president all the way down to the you know, 44th player. Yeah, it's been amazing.
And that's the funny thing about this story, isn't it, Lauren? Because no one, unless you're a Collingwood supporter, it's no fairy tale, because in terms of the fact that no one likes Collingwood, no one wants to see them win a flag unless you're actually a Collingwood fan. But if you peel that back, if you can peel it back, there's so many good stories at that club at the moment.
Yeah, there is. And that's the thing. I mean, it's been talked about over the last 24 hours or so of if you're a Victorian, you're sort of brought up to go for, you know, your own team and anyone who's playing against Collingwood. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to see that this week of, you know, Dan Andrews and co coming out encouraging all Victorians to follow Collingwood.
Asked us to all barrack for Collingwood, but that won't be happening, Adam.
We don't want you to support us against the world.
I'm a bit like you, Smarty. You'd almost end up with different people, you know. You may be in that camp where you may not want to see Collingwood win.
Yep.
I think there'd be a lot of people that'd say, well, I'd love to see Mason Cox win one, or I'd love to see Nathan Buckley win one. So it's more sort of individual, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so, Lauren, but I know where you're coming from. But isn't it amazing at the start of the year, Champion Data got smashed for ranking Collingwood's midfield as the best in the comp, elite.
Yep.
And it's not just side bottom, obviously. It's Adams, it's Pendlebury. He's an all-time great now.
Yep.
Treloar, just to make it back. And with that backstory against
Grundy
Richmond,
plays like a midfielder at times, doesn't he, as well?
He killed Nankervis. It's all about hitting your peak at the right time of the year, isn't it? And they've certainly done that. I love, there's a lot going, you mentioned in the background, Nick Maxwell, I think, has been instrumental in getting the team harmony right. But there were, not that long ago, players really upset, disgruntled at the club. There were meetings going on off-site. There was, you know, it was precarious for Buckley. And I think Maxwell's come in and he's been able to build a bit of this sort of leadership program that I'm sure in the wash-up, if they win the flag, there'll be a Richmond-style book.
And it was amazing to see him on Friday night. I sat just behind the bench among what I'd hoped would be 100,000 people, but we'll probably touch on that a little bit later. Didn't quite get to that. And Maxi, he was, I've never seen a bench staff member quite like he was on Friday night. Yeah. He was up right at the boundary line. He was instructing every player, meeting players as they came off. Yeah. You know, I know Peter Dacos spoke about the spirit of this team, and it really, you know, it comes from blokes like Nick Maxwell, and that he was just so full of energy, and it just went to show that they just came up for the fight on Friday night and didn't let up, did they?
You know, I was talking to Craig Lambert last week, and he said, people call it connection, but he goes, it's actually love. These guys at these teams love each other, not just the teammates, but everyone in the club. They get this thing going, and it's special, and you can't stop it. Yeah, Bulldogs, Richmond last year.
And in that vein, I think the Travis Farco tragedy has galvanised them even more, even brought them even tighter.
Well, it was amazing because obviously Travis hasn't spoken, and you know, by all means, we were all incredibly feeling for him. But listening to his teammates talk about him, Taylor Adams was one who spoke about him in the rooms on K-Rock on Friday night, and he was in tears doing a radio interview. As soon as he was, you know, he's all up and about, trying to explain the, you know, what it means to him to be in the grand final. And the second he was asked about Travis Varko, the eyes welled up. He's sort of pausing. He was really affected by it. Of course, Brody Grundy revealed the text message that Varko sent to the group before the match. So I wouldn't underestimate the significance that the passing of his sister Maggie has had on this team.
And just quietly, that was the best final Travis has played this September.
He was unbelievable.
He was very, very good.
Premierships. He might be about to have a third. What do you do with the back line, though? Goldsack was good again, but Jeremy Howe's got the ankle. Darcy Moore, would you pick him?
I think for Collingwood, it's a really tough call they've got to make there because, as we've seen twice this year with West Coast, they do stretch Collingwood with those big tall timber they've got down there. And, I mean, Darcy Moore's a very good defender. And also the other forgotten player is Ben Reid, a very experienced player, a premiership player, who is actually available but hasn't had a look in the last 6 weeks or so. And it's a huge call they're going to have to make there, isn't it?
It's going to be massive. They've trained over the weekend, I understand, at the Holden Centre. Saw a bit of vision of them being played this morning. But Jeremy Howe, he looked shocking going down into the rooms on Friday night. And I must admit, I was pretty worried when I saw him in the rooms afterwards. He had the ankle, it was quite high up. The ice pack that he had on the side of his ankle, which is, you're right, that dreaded syndesmosis injury, it looks like that. But he was up and about walking this morning. So, I mean, if it's a low grade, you would expect there'd be a lot of sort of midnight, 2 a.m. rehabbing happening in the Howe household this week.
Well, that might be a good segue into West Coast because it's their forward line that is going to be a problem for Collingwood.
Oh, my God,
with
they're
Jack
unbelievable.
Darling, Josh Kennedy. So let's switch to that game. We'll get back to Collingwood when we do our predictions. But that was, if you thought Richmond were blown out of the water, the Melbourne Footy Club didn't know what hit them. That was
punch between
incredible
their eyes.
First half by West Coast.
It was just, as you said,
goalless in the first
half. And we just thought that you couldn't do better than what Collingwood did to Richmond in that first quarter and a half or even two quarters, if you want to say. West Coast eclipsed that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which makes it hard to get a read on both teams because both their opponents, I guess you could argue, didn't really turn up on the night, did they?
Yeah.
So, which makes it difficult. But the way that West Coast, they got their running game going, and I think that stat that we've heard all this year that when their two big fellas down there are playing, Darling and Kennedy, they're unbeaten. So
they got Rioli and Ryan down. They're a better team than the one that came over and got smashed in the grand final against Hawthorn.
Oh, without
question. But is the MCG, Lauren, still the hoodoo? You know, I know they beat Collingwood there earlier in the year, but is that why Collingwood are favourites with the bookies?
This is where it's going to get interesting because I think the West Coast of years gone by, we saw what happened with them in the grand final a few years ago. You know, Jack Darling, I'm sure that missed mark still wakes him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he'll be out to make amends for that one. But there's been a lot of changes there. They've got an MCG sized ground that they train on at their training facility. Optus Stadium is obviously a lot more similar to the MCG than Subiaco was. So I think that probably plays to their favour. I think they enjoy the fact that they're over West and maybe get forgotten about a little bit in the media over here, and people are really starting to sit up and take notice. And I wouldn't rule them out. Obviously, we'll give our tips a little bit later, but I think they'll come over and give it a hell of a bigger shake than what they did potentially a few years ago. But it's quite amazing, isn't it? Well, you certainly hope not, Smarty. But if you had said at the start of the year that West Coast would be making the grand final without the likes of Andrew Gaff and Nick Naknui, I don't think anyone would believe it. But another Rioli on grand final day, it's going to be awesome.
A lot of these teams were left, both these teams were left out of most people's eights.
Yeah.
Well, except for one, I was going to say earlier, who would have thought these two would be in? But it was interesting reading over the weekend that the great Bruce McAvaney, of all people, gave his tip back in May of who he thought was going to make the grand final.
I saw that.
And he tipped both the big birds, Collingwood and West Coast. So he watches a lot of footy, Bruce, and he was spot on with that one.
They got the depth too, Eagles, now and then. Yeah. Like Redden and Cripps, all these sort of guys, they've come through, even as you say, with Gaff missing and Nick Nat out. Actually, their ruck department doesn't really seem to have suffered at all.
Lysette, he did.
Lysette and Vardy.
He was good against Grundy earlier this season. I mean, it's going to, I think it's a bit of a flip of the coin for me at the moment, personally. You can mount a case for both teams, can't you? It's just going to be, I know it's a cliche, but whoever turns up.
It's important to turn up.
And as Melbourne, we saw in the prelim.
Melbourne and Richmond for the cliche maybe didn't. Let's start with the losers, dissecting them, and with Melbourne. They were horrible, really. Their midfield, which has been revered as being the hardest in the comp, just unsighted. And maybe in hindsight, Lever and Hogan, to lose those guys when they did.
Maybe it caught up.
They'll know they'll get them back. So, you know, they're on an upward journey, Melbourne. But, gee, they were smashed.
Do we think it's the kind... I mean, they've had a decent September. Obviously, get to prelim is a good year on paper. Do you think it's the kind of loss that can sort of leave mental scars for a while, that kind of performance on the big stage?
Oh, I would hope not. It was interesting reading Max Gawn's column in the Sunday Herald Sun about how they, as you said, Smarty, were hit squarely between the eyes. But I think that they would have gained a lot of confidence from the year. And you would hope, I guess, that it is obviously a young group. You know, they're another team that played with incredible spirit and a great bond between them. That's obviously only going to get stronger. Obviously, Bernie Vince is retiring Sunday afternoon in that VFL Grand Final. So they'll lose a little bit of experience there. Jordan Lewis had a pretty poor game. He'll be pretty disappointed with that. But you would hope that with the age profile, they've got a lot of players in that sort of 30 to 50 game bracket, which is, you know, prime for a lot of teams. If they can get another year of development into them, I mean, I can't see them dropping off, if that's what you're saying. I still hope that they look at the year as a success.
Regardless of what happens on Saturday, I think most people have them in their top four next year.
I think Goodwin can use that as something when they get ahead of themselves, some of their players next year, because they'll be right up there. He can always say, hey, just think back to what happened in that game.
Yep.
Because, you know, until you get there all the way, it counts for nothing. So it'll hold them in good stead, the way it happened, but right now it'll be pretty raw.
Oh, and it hurt him. Like, I mean, Angus Brayshaw is one. He's been incredible all season. Reports, you know, he was basically inconsolable in the rooms afterwards. Yeah. So, it's certainly hurt them, but you would hope that they harness that and use it in the right way.
And we have a news line from Sam Landsberger in the Monday Herald Sun. The message from Goodwin after the game to the players was, you know, this really needs to burn over summer for you.
Yeah.
And so that'll be the message.
And that can be a cliche, but I think in this instance it's right.
Definitely.
Now, the other mob, Richmond, they set off the top. In 2001, Essendon probably had no choice, but they had to play James Hurd, and I think it was Lucas who were injured. But it was just so unfortunate for Richmond in the sense that Dusty, I must say also that the AFL, I think it was Mitch Cleary, went with the story originally. He got smashed by Neil Barman, Richmond. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing wrong with him. Well, there was a lot wrong with him. I reckon he was about 60%. So then he had Asprey in hospital that morning on the drip. I'm not saying that's why they lost, because they were completely overrun by a better team, but it's just what a conundrum you've got when you've got injured players.
It just shows you that, I mean, a lot of the great coaches often say that it's just not worth taking unfit players into big games.
Martin,
that's
or
right.
James Hurd.
But even that, I guess those both examples blew up in their face, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Asprey obviously was battling that sort of virus flu-y type sort of, and the 18-meter Texan, which obviously doesn't help your cause. But unfortunately, it wasn't a great night for him. But Dusty, he strikes me as the sort of player, you know, Dimmer often talks about how he's given creative license to put himself where he needs to be. And it sort of seems like the one where he would have been asked, are you right?
Yep.
And the second that he would have said yes, well, once you cross the line, you're out there and you've got to do it. So I think he had 6 kicks for the night. Only 2 of them were effective. Ugh. I mean, they're sort of numbers that he hasn't turned out for 5 years. And he was sort of just a number of times he struggled to sort of get to the bench and, you know, needed a long rest, which often isn't like Dusty. But I wouldn't be entirely surprised if it comes out over the next few weeks that there was something pretty serious.
Now, Mick, can I ask you, in terms of Richmond, are they shattered? I mean, I know that sounds like a simple question to ask, but best team all year, reigning premiers, finish on top, week off. Is it a real wasted opportunity for them?
Oh, 100%. But I heard someone say they're at the crossroads. I don't think they are. And we'll talk later, though. They should get Lynch. They just champion data. Horney was telling us they'd been tapering off. There were signs that they weren't at their peak at the right. You have to be the peak at the right time of the year. Like, that's why Collingwood are there. But I will say Chris Scott had said a lot needs to go right for Richmond. It turns out in hindsight that he was right, and I gave him a bit of a hard time for that. But I still didn't like what he said. I thought it was a bit disrespectful the way he went about it. And on that, I love the way Damien Hardwick spoke and acted after the game.
Yeah, he was very good.
Going in to give Bucks a hug in the opposition room to seek him out, the way he spoke about his group, he wasn't angry. So, yeah, obviously they'll be shattered to have... Because how many opportunities do you get to win a premiership?
It's a premiership wasted, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. Not so much wasted because there's other good teams. But
it was great from Dimmer, though, because he spoke at length about when... You know, when they were gunning for Buckley a couple of years ago, and I remember sitting in one of Dimmer's press conferences and he was asked about whether he'd reached out to Buckley at all. And I think the question was sort of thrown out there, not really knowing if they were even mates. You know, obviously there's only 18 men in the country that coach AFL teams, so they do have a little bit to do with each other. But I remember him saying that, you know, he'd been texting Buckley and sort of offering his support. So they obviously, you know, share a nice bond. We saw Clarko, you know, coming in and celebrating with Dimmer last year. Yeah. So I think it's great sportsmanship. He sort of waited until sort of late in the piece and snuck around the back way. So he certainly didn't want a big deal made of it. But you're right, it was a great show of sportsmanship by Hardwick.
I think that attitude is right through Richmond, which is why I'm not worried about them. I think that they'll
be okay.
Let's start then with Trade HQ because Lynch, we think the time will come now that he can nominate. He did that awkward press conference last week. I'm not sure why he actually did that when he wasn't able to say it. But I don't know if it's this week or whether it's, you know, when the trade period starts, he will nominate Richmond.
You still think it's Richmond? Yep.
100%. I wonder also whether Richmond might be in for another player who I don't know the name of, but you wonder how they can do it if they've got their salary cap, but not so much an A-plus player, but another good player, maybe a midfielder, to come in.
Stop teasing me. What have you got?
I've just heard a whisper.
He's just throwing it out there.
I think there'll be some list changes at Richmond.
Yeah, it's clever though. The way you look at it. Like, I mean, a lot of people are sort of saying, oh, but how can they get Lynch? They've re-signed all these players this year, the captain, Alex Rance, all the rest of it. But when you actually drill down on their list management, I mean, this is years of forward planning. You look at the age profile of, you know, much has talked about the big four, Cochin, Rance, Riewoldt. Help me out here. Oh, Dustin Martin, of course. Dustin, how could I forget Dusty? But, you know, he was on a long deal. But it's actually, when you look at it, the numbers, it's really smart. Their age profile, the years that they come out of contract. It's very much a game of Tetris, I suppose, is probably the best way to put it, and a bit of a jigsaw puzzle that all the pieces fit together. So they can certainly afford Lynch. And as you say, if they can shuffle the decks and get another one, Mick, they're going to be scary.
I don't know, but Conker apparently the Freo interim. If players like Brandon Ellis leave, there could be 600,000 or 700,000.
I think Stengel was the other one that was reported, wasn't it, too, for Adelaide?
May, though, is the other one who's clearly in demand.
You're still Collingwood bound, you reckon?
Hawthorn, Melbourne, Essendon, you're in there as well.
Oh, yikes.
We're here along with Collingwood. Imagine Collingwood picking up Stephen May after winning a premiership.
Well, it's not as audacious as Lynch going to Richmond, please. Just had a bad night, but you're still the best team.
Well, they could carpool still, at least, the Gold Coast co-captains. The Olympic Park Centre and Punt Road aren't too far away.
What about Jack Loney, Lauren?
Yeah, that was an interesting one, wasn't it, over the last sort of 24 hours? Reports that he'd met with Nathan Buckley, so Collingwood...
Jeez, Bucks, not again. Focus
on
the prize.
Again, apparently. Or even Carlton in the mix, potentially, for Jack Loney. So I think he's got a one-year deal on the table. Don't quote me on that. I think that's right at St Kilda. But reports are that he's looking for a little bit more sort of security in his future than just the 1 year. So we should expect, as you say, now that more and more teams are falling out of the race, only two left, the other 16 will... You know, the dominoes will start to fall in the next week or so.
The two gun midfielders, Dylan Shield, didn't ask for a trade at his exit meeting, so that's got to be half good news.
That is half good news, yeah.
At some stage, maybe that plays out like the Gibbs one.
You think he's still gone?
I don't know, but he's clearly in play.
Yeah,
so maybe it just depends what the deal looks like. And Brisbane Lions, Lachie Neal, half the equation sorted with Lincoln McCarthy requesting a trade. He's best mates with Lachie Neal. So I'm not sure if Brisbane are
all that confident. There hasn't been anything set in stone, but I reckon in the end he'll go to Brisbane.
This is the week, though, isn't it? Everyone's rolling into Melbourne for various things. I was reading the news about Lincoln McCarthy on Friday afternoon walking along South Bank, and I looked up and saw this bloke with his headphones in talking on the phone and his cap on. It was Chris Fagan. And I thought, oh, there you go. Isn't that a bit weird? Well, he was on the phone, unfortunately. So
get his Brownlow tux ready.
Yeah, but it is. There's a lot of functions in Melbourne. You know, there's coaches around, there's players around. It's a bit of a hotbed for, you know, those great unofficial talks that happen at functions.
You mentioned the Brownlow. It's on tonight, or tomorrow night, but as you're listening. Tom Mitchell is the outright favourite. Dustin Martin's second favourite. How embarrassing was it for Tom Mitchell? Mm. And it had nothing to do with him, we're told, that his management were flogging him around to breakfast radio for $1,000 plus GST on Tuesday morning to 3AW was one. Funnily enough, 3AW just paid him $5,000 cash as their player of the year. So
we picked up another 20 this morning too for the Sunday Footy Show player of the year.
Mm. He hasn't actually won the Brownlow yet.
I was going to say,
it was a weird one, wasn't it?
TLA are the management company.
But it was sort of a bit removed, wasn't it? Because he's got his manager, but then it sounds like TLA were brought in to manage the Brownlow side of things for him on his behalf or something like that. As you say, 3AW may not have been the only ones.
No, well, Phil Mullen is his manager, but I'm not sure that Phil Mullen's business isn't in some way got a link to TLA, which is Craig Kelly's company. But I've also been told that not only was it Breakfast Radio that they were flogging this interview to a guy who actually hadn't won the Brownlow yet, but Sunrise on Channel 7 was offered the chance to speak to him for $5,000 cash, which is obviously been rejected. They're the AFL broadcaster. Last I checked, they paid $800 million for footy. And so now TLA are running around saying if you want Tom Mitchell, who hasn't won the Brownlow yet, but if he does for $5,000, talk about unsavoury.
It's a bit unsavoury, isn't it?
It's not great. And I know Gillon McLachlan spoke about it the other day. I don't think the AFL were too thrilled with it by the sounds of it, because obviously it's an open slather the next morning for Brownlow medalists. They're here, there and everywhere. They do a press conference on the Yarra, all the rest of it. So it's a weird one. But I know he's in the box seat to win. But your man, Mick,
he'd want to win
I
it
wouldn't
now.
Rule him out.
Had they accepted that deal, do they get a refund if Tom doesn't win? We're not talking to him
maybe
now.
There's other players involved.
Who's your tip, Mick? Do you reckon he's a
shoo-in? I think Mitchell should win it. But umpires are funny. Remember Jeff Raines was favourite 1 year and he didn't poll a single vote.
That's true.
It'd
be nice if we just get a close count, because it makes it a bit more exciting if everyone in the room.
Yeah, we like a close count. And, you know, it's always heartbreaking when someone's out of the mix. But you would think of the probably top five or six chances. There's no one that's been suspended, thank goodness. But, I mentioned Dusty then, Mick. Richmond won a lot of games.
Yeah.
Winning teams, they poll a lot.
They get big votes, those guns. Like, don't rule out Dangerfield either. All right, what about, we'll get back onto the grand final. What about your Norm Smith? Tell us how the game will unfold and who will win.
Oh, Smarty's hesitating because I think he's just a little
first.
Bit too nervous.
You
but
first.
Having watched Collingwood at ground level on Friday night against Richmond, I can't go past Steele side bottom for the Norm Smith medal. I know we mentioned him before. He could almost be triple S's initials, Steele September side bottom. He is just lives for these big games. Yeah. I was dreading it. Trent Cotchin absolutely crunched him with a perfect bump right in front of the bench, and he sort of took half a second to get up, and I thought, oh no, I'd love to see him out there next week. But I would really love Steele. I think he's, you know, he flies under the radar a little bit.
Why doesn't anyone tag him?
It's unbelievable,
isn't
it? Sure,
they'll tag him this week. They'll tag him this week.
And maybe it's just because, you know,
he's... tag him, Smarty?
I think I would be if I would.
Yeah, he's a bit unassuming, but you're right, he gets plenty of it. I think he'll win the Normie in a winning side, Smarty. I think Collingwood it'll be a close one.
Look, I can't tip against him. I think it's a flip of the coin. I like the early weather forecast as a Pies fan.
Well, we're at 13 degrees.
Hear me out.
13 degrees and an 80% chance of 1 to 5 millimetres.
That would
sound like a pearler. I wore shorts to the grand final in 2008. Yeah. It doesn't sound like
I just think that
one.
Would suit Collingwood with all the tours of the West Coast. And I think Collingwood would buy about 13 points. And I think Jordan DeGoey for the Norm Smith.
Oh,
he was good, wasn't
he? Do you reckon he'll get a new haircut?
He's 22. He's a superstar.
Yeah, he's a gun.
Fresh haircut for the granny.
I haven't picked Collingwood all year, so I'm not going to start now. Smarty, I'm going to go for Elliot Yippee-Io to win the Norm.
Yeah.
And the monster forward line of the Eagles are going to find a way to crush Collingwood.
I just think
I say that with any confidence whatsoever.
My confidence, or not even confidence, I give Collingwood the slight edge for a few reasons, which we've already speculated. But also, a few weeks ago, Collingwood had them. I thought let them off the hook the last 10 minutes, and that was in front of 70,000 rabid West Coast fans. So I think they wouldn't let them off the hook this time.
Mason Cox will be critical.
He won't have the same
think
game.
Richmond they won't will give allow it space. Richmond. I don't think Eagles will allow what Richmond did. No. Wasn't it amazing when Pendlebury had that ball at 60 out?
Had a highway.
He popped it up.
He had a highway in front of him, didn't he?
And let him know about it afterwards too.
Oh, and funnily enough, I was in a corporate box with a mate who invited
me. Oh, righto.
Reached down to grab a stubby at that exact moment and did my back.
I just thought
this is just going
to
be a bad
That's a sign of what's to come, wasn't it? I just can't wait to see these two teams go head to head, because talking to our friends from Jambian Data, they've just got such differing game styles. Yes. And I know, you know, it talks about throughout the year, you've got to have this sort of game
chaos to
A, make the grand final and B, win it. But you look at the numbers comparing West Coast to Collingwood. For disposal count, West Coast 16th, Collingwood first. Couldn't be probably further apart there. Handballs, Collingwood's the first ranked team. West Coast is 18th ranked for that one. They're both pretty poor at using the corridor from their defensive 50. So don't expect that to work too well. But, you know, things like boundary use from defensive 50, all these great Champion Data terms, you know, West Coast second, Collingwood 10th. So it's two different game styles that are going to be going head to head in front of a huge audience.
Contested possession and territory will decide the flag.
And the commission meets, I think they might even be meeting today and then tomorrow, or tomorrow and Tuesday.
Double whammy.
Oh, no. I'm scared whenever this happens.
Yeah, but Mike Sheehan is pretty well connected, all but said that his mail was that the goal square was in jeopardy and may not get up. And then Eddie Maguire said on Friday night, he's on that committee, that most of the other recommendations would get up, but he wasn't so sure about the goal score either.
Oh, Mick, but you need a hobby hall. They need to bring it in, because what are you going to complain about?
I can find plenty of things to complain about.
What's your prediction? So we'll get the 666.
Well, I'm not going to predict it, because I reckon if the commission reject what Hocking has proposed, that makes him look foolish.
I think you're right, Laura. It'd be like Coyote capturing Roadrunner. He wouldn't know what to do. You got to get this, Mick. It has to come in.
It's an interesting one, though, Mick. That's the big story, obviously, for you over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, goal square.
Well, yeah.
Priority picks as well.
Priority
picks.
So the talk, Sam Landsberger reported the other day, it looks like it'll be Carlton and Gold Coast that'll be in the box seat for priority picks. What's your feeling on that? Because I get the vibe from a few different clubs that there'd be a bit of an uproar if Carlton was allowed to get one.
I didn't want one originally, didn't I? No. Oh, actually, wait a second. You know what? Can you forget what I said? Just give us one. Oh, I don't particularly
Carlton,
mind if
I
get
think,
one.
You know, probably should get one. Gold Coast shouldn't get one, because the AFL set them up 8 years ago.
They have to get one.
I think you just shut the joint down.
They're cooked.
Tell me about Billy Slater.
Yes, no, I'm glad you did this. But before I do, can I just very quick congratulations, Michael, on the Football Media's most esteemed award.
How did we miss it? The Alf
Brown Award at the Australian Media Award. Congratulations, Nick.
And can I say that the general public don't give a rat's toss bag. In fact, the idea of journalists presenting awards to journalists is a bit like used car salesmen buying a car for you.
Congratulations.
Very well deserved.
Okay, Billy Slater. Now, in case you hadn't
heard. Although I was accused of being naive.
That's what I was going to ask you, Mick.
By Craig Hutchison.
Why?
A former journalist.
Talk us through this, because Mick, you reported a story about Gillon McLachlan and Craig Kelly last week in the Herald Sun. Yeah. So you've set it up beautifully. You've done half my work for me. I was just about to ask you.
I heard he said you're a conspiracy theorist.
Well, explain it to us, emails and a birthday present, and they've taken you to task.
That story was in the context of the AFL giving TLA, which is Craig Kelly's company, commercial rights to the TAC Cup to grow this thing. And 7 or 8 agents are up in arms. They've actually gone to the ACCC to complain. So my story was in the context of that, Hutchie, that if you want to know how close these two blokes are, Craig Kelly and Gil McLachlan, the driveway down at Gil's farm at Birragara is lined with London plane trees that Ned Kelly organised with a who's who of the industry. So that was the purpose of that story. Craig, I think the problem with Hutchie is that Hutchie's part of the problem.
That's all I'll say on that one.
Okay.
Now, tell me about Billy Slater.
Now, Mick, Billy Slater. In case you hadn't caught up, they're in the grand final again, the mighty Melbourne Storm. Billy Slater has been rubbed out with a shoulder charge. He will go to the NRL judiciary on Tuesday night. Listen to this. Storm are pushing heavily for Monday night in Sydney to more time in case he does, you know, preparation-wise. The NRL could not find a legal prosecutor on Monday night in grand final week. One's away, the other person's away too. So it's Tuesday because of that.
Couldn't or chose not to.
Well, they're saying they couldn't find one, apparently unavailable. Anyway.
Was there a concussion involved here though?
No.
So what's the problem?
Because the NRL has a real beaners bonnet when it comes to shoulder charges.
Pretty watertight, isn't it?
It is. That's why he's in trouble. But it wasn't brought in for this reason. That's what Storm will argue. The way he hit him, the front on nice still has his arm on his on the Cronulla player's shoulder or chest, which I think will be key to their legal defense.
Sort of a hug around.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny, just the consensus out there, even in Sydney, where it's very much anti-Storm, is you cannot miss a grand final for this. What an anticlimactic way for Billy Slater to finish his career. And I know, Lauren, you have a conspiracy theory here.
I do have one. I'll keep my powder dry on that one until whether it actually eventuates. But yeah, I do have a conspiracy relating to this one. But the most pressing question on this one, Smarty, for you, your loyalties are split. What are you more nervous about?
Yep.
The Tuesday night judiciary hearing
or
2:30 Saturday afternoon?
2:30 Saturday afternoon. Because good the mighty answer, Melbourne Storm are that resilient. They can do it without him. Yep.
Oh, wouldn't it be sad though?
It'd be a weird feeling.
Free Billy.
Next time we join you on the Super Footy podcast, we'll know one of those answers, whether Collingwood or West Coast get up.
My heart.
And we'll be a few hours before the Storm. We'll see you then.
Good luck.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.